Spend now, pay later on a grand scale. I'm David Brancaccio. Economists say there's nothing inherently wrong with the federal government spending more than it has, given its borrowing power and this emergency. But we do watch the size of the deficit, which has ballooned to a record $1.7 trillion in the first half of this budget year. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with some details.
David, the government is spending a lot of money to aid the pandemic recovery. Combine that with a drop in revenues of about 6%, and you have a growing deficit, $1.7 trillion for the 6 months ending in March. Digging down in the numbers, March is an interesting month. The budget deficit was $660 billion in that month alone. Half of it could be accounted for with the stimulus checks sent to Americans.
So a six-month record, what was the last record deficit?
Well, here's a shocker for you, David. It was after the last huge economic downturn, the Great Recession, when the government was again spending to aid the economic recovery. Now, all of this, the deficit spending, the growing debt, has been entirely predicted, and we should prepare ourselves to hear a lot of comparisons to World War II. The Congressional Budget Office has forecast that federal debt will grow to its highest levels since World War II this year. Now, the same thing happened last year. And for perspective, we spent $4 trillion to fight World War II. That's in today's dollars. And David, guess how we paid for it?
One of the choices, government debt, higher taxes, maybe?
That's right. And one bit of good news in the latest report, David, the government is now spending less in interest payments on that debt than it did a year ago. So that's because, of course, interest rates are lower.
Indeed. Nova, thank you. Now, I don't know how you order your life, but for some, this is the beginning of what's called earnings season, when public corporations say how they did. The big banks do their profits starting tomorrow, covering January to March, when COVID shots were coming. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has that.
For starters, financial markets are riding high, and Karen Petru at Federal Financial Analytics says that's where banks make a lot of their money. Stocks have soared, companies are going public.
Tech firms are launching new offerings. There's a lot of fee income in that. And even the most risky borrowers are being supported in the corporate sector by ultra-low interest rates.
A robust reopening economy will help banks earn more going forward, says Greg McBride at Bankrate.com. Though he says with unemployment still high, it's hard for some households to make their monthly payments on credit cards, auto, and home loans.
It's going to take a while longer for households that suffered income disruptions to get to their new normal before we really get a sense of the extent of consumer defaults, delinquencies, bankruptcies, and foreclosures.
McBride says government relief checks have helped mitigate consumers' debt troubles in the pandemic. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The S&P future is little changed. The Dow future is up 23 points. I need to replace the front derailleur on a 17-year-old road bike of mine, and I had to get a guy to send me one from France. The shipping doubled the cost, but at least he had it used. This spring, if you're on the hunt for a new bike or a part for an old one, expect to pay more. Demand is sky high, and with shipping slowdowns, bikes and parts could cost 15 to 25% more if there is inventory to sell. Marketplace's Scott Tong has that.
2 years. That's how long bike shops are waiting for inventory from Asia, says industry marketing consultant Rick Vosper.
So you order it today, you look forward to getting it in, what would that be, 2023 sometime.
The shortage began before the pandemic, when President Trump put import taxes on bikes and parts from China.
So out of fear of tariffs, the industry held back on a lot of orders.
A tight market and then a pandemic driving people to exercise outdoors made bikes, poof, disappear from shops last April. Ira Cargill is the co-owner of the Gears bike shops in the Toronto area.
We would close and it was just like boom, boom, boom at the door. And you're trying to close the door and lock it. And people's arms were reaching in like, no, I need a bike.
Her sales doubled in 2020. She says it made her feel like she was selling a hot new iPhone with customers lined up outside the door.
Like, for being a bike retailer, I can't relate to that. I can kind of relate to that now. I kind of feel like I'm Apple.
Hargill says consumers bought every single bike in stock.
I'm talking the prettiest baby blue man's extra large bike that didn't sell. Well, people were paying top dollar. We were clearing out 2017s at regular price.
Some cyclists are resorting to fixing up their old bikes. But shipping backups and COVID restrictions at ports mean Cargill can't get any parts. She says one parts maker said it can't deliver anything to the whole of Canada until 2022.
I mean, I've got about 36 people waiting for, you know, $21.99 cranks. But if I can't get it, their bike doesn't pedal. So these silly little repair parts are as important as a brand new bike.
Meantime, the prices of everything are rising. Import tariffs remain in the U.S., shipping costs are up, and the dollar is weak, which makes imports pricier. New bikes are going for 15% more than last year.
I feel that it's a bit of a ripoff, the new MSRPs, that they're higher than I think they should be, but the consumer is demanding them and buying them.
But will red-hot demand continue post-COVID? Consultant Rick Vosper says some in the business are bullish. He's not.
We think that post-COVID, Americans are going to revert to their pre-COVID behavior. And that means there is a huge amount of inventory in the pipeline that we don't have customers for.
He says some suppliers in Asia have the same fear, so they're not investing in new factories. And so the delays continue. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Scott got all the way through without saying bicycle supply chain. Good for him. David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report, APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.